Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner says after 9/11, the agency created a dedicated multi-layered office that uses intelligence, targeted sanctions, and international diplomacy, and works with banks to spot and block suspicious transactions.
Because of this strategy, donors, financial institutions, and facilitators across the world are no longer free to fund and facilitate terrorism with impunity. The pool of money for terrorism is shrinking, and it has grown harder to hide and move funds.
No longer can terrorists send, receive, and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars by ordinary means, like the 9/11 hijackers did. Before the September 11th terrorist attacks, al-Qaeda had $30 million a year, according to the 9/11 Commission. Treasury Undersecretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence David Cohen says al-Qaeda is now counting every dollar it spends.
So in the decades since 9/11, the United States government has undertaken an unprecedented effort to unmask and choke off al-Qaeda's financial support networks. The strategies developed by Treasury's Office of Terrorism and Financial Intelligence have placed the department squarely within our country's national security community and at the forefront of the battle to deprive al-Qaeda and terrorists the world over of the financial wherewithal to operate.
But al-Qaeda is not disappearing. Moreover, he says terrorist threats come from different groups with their own fundraising methods.
Working with our colleagues in the intelligence community and our partners around the world, we will devise disruption strategies tailored to the ways in which each group raises, stores, and moves money.
And that's no easy thing. National Counterterrorism Center Director Matt Olson says terrorists today plan simpler attacks that don't take a lot of cash.
As al-Qaeda moves to other types of attacks, perhaps less spectacular, more small-scale attacks, the amount of money that it costs to fund an attack like that is quite modest. We know that al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula bragged about the fact that the plot last fall to the cargo plot on airplanes cost $4,200.
Olson says looking for such little money is hard, and the Treasury Department's success has made its job more difficult. Undersecretary Cohen says terrorist groups can't rely on donations anymore, so they've turned to crimes like kidnapping for ransom. And, he says, they increasingly use cash couriers or new technology like mobile phone transactions to move monies in ways that are harder to detect.
These new methods of storing and moving value also create new vulnerabilities if not adequately covered by anti-money laundering and counter-terrorist financing regulations. So as we continue to disrupt specific actors and networks, we will also work to build a more transparent financial system with robust safeguards that is increasingly inhospitable to terrorist financing.
But as terrorism financing and efforts to combat it have evolved, a basic problem remains. Even a decade after 9/11, the National Counterterrorism Center's Olson says there are legal and policy barriers to intelligence sharing.
That's a work in progress. And so I think there's more that can be done there to assist us in obtaining the information we need and being able to analyze it and then share it effectively. And the last point I would make on that, it occurs to me that one aspect of that is being able to share information not just at the federal level, but being able to share information with state and local. First responders in particular are going to be so critical, particularly as we confront the threat of homegrown extremists.
Even with all the sophisticated and comprehensive money tracking systems that the Treasury Department has, it may be the local police officer who detects a lone wolf terrorist willing to do harm without a lot of cash. In Washington, Emily Kopp, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.